الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. وبعد، my dear brothers and sisters, we continue with our series on marriage, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put khair in this, inshaAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the marriage as one of his signs in Surah Ar-Rum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and from his signs is that he has created for you your mates, your spouses, from amongst yourselves. And he put, so that you may find, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, so that you may find sukoon in them. And he has put between you mawadda wa rahmah, mawaddatan wa rahmah, love and mercy. Inna fi dhalika la ayatin liqaumin yatafakkarun, and verily in this there are signs for people who reflect. Inshallah, we look at the first of these and then we'll see the others tomorrow and day after. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned three specific things with regard to his signs in terms of marriage. First of all, as I mentioned, he mentioned the marriage itself as a sign from him, Jalla Jalalu. And he said that your spouses are from amongst yourselves, meaning that there is a intrinsic equality between the spouses. There is a misconception among the many misconceptions about men and women and their relationship in Islam, where, for example, one of the things we feel is that in a marriage, the man and the wife, they come together to complete each other, to complement each other. This is not from Islam. In Islam, the man is complete in himself, the woman is complete in herself. They are not two incomplete pieces who join together to make some kind of completion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created completeness in each of them by themselves. They come together in a partnership. So that's the first part. Second one is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the three words, sukoon, mawadda, rahmah. What is sukoon? Sukoon is the absence of movement. If you take the ibarat, the matras, for example, in the language, you have what we call in Urdu, zabar, zair, pesh, what we call in Arabic, fatha, kathra, dhamma. And then there is the sukoon, which in Urdu we call jazm. So, fatha, kathra, dhamma, that is a, e, u. And then there is a sukoon where the letter does not move, so to speak. So, the letter does not go a, e, u, the letter is by itself. So, if you are saying qaf, when you teach tajweed, in tajweed when we are talking about the makharij, and we say how must the letter be pronounced. And if you are teaching qaf, you don't say qa, you say aq. Put a sukoon on the letter, put a hamza before the letter. Aq, ab, aq, ad, as, os. Now, with the entire alphabet. So if you put a sukoon, it means it is not going anywhere. Now if you take this meaning of sukoon, then in a marriage, the sukoon, first part of it relates to the lack of movement in the spouse from anyone other than the spouse. So there is no movement away from the spouse. The heart, the desire, the eyes, the hands, the feet, everything is from one spouse for the other spouse. So once you are married, then there is no looking outward anywhere else for anything to do which has to do with the spouse. So the two spouses are saying in a marriage, and the sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that in a marriage they are completely and totally faithful to one another in every way, in thought, in action, and in feeling. Second issue of sukoon relates to a feeling of contentment and a feeling of peace, a feeling of tranquility and harmony between them and in the house, in the surroundings. The sukoon relates to the entire family environment. Now, unfortunately, today we have got to a stage where in many cases, I won't say most, Allah knows best, but in many cases, the home has become a boxing ring. And the job of the husband and the wife is to score points off one another. In all kinds of small things. Each one is trying to assert their authority over the other. Now, this is not from Islam. And this is the one of the many major reasons why marriages go wrong. Because your whole life is spent trying to prove that you are superior to the other person, you are better than the other person, that you have more authority or whatever it is. And this is not the purpose of a marriage at all. So the home is a place of tranquility. A home is a place of harmony, a place of peace, where there is no lack of sukoon in the house. The example is like, for example, you take a ship. A ship is on the open sea. The ship is subject to storms. It's subject to, you know, actions of waves and winds and so on. But once it comes into port, there is no storm in the port. The port is a place of tranquility, a place of peace. There's no storm in the port. Imagine what happens to the ship if there is a storm in the port itself. Where is it going to go from there? So the home is a place where there is no acting, there are no facades, you don't have to put on an appearance, you don't have to show something, you don't have to prove anything. There should be no barriers between the husband and the wife. There should be no need to show something or to prove something between the husband and the wife. The husband and the wife, there should be complete and total trust. And the major foundational point of trust is to know that the other person will not take advantage of my vulnerability. This is the rock bottom. This is the absolute, bedrock foundation of trust. To know that the other person will not take advantage of my vulnerability. So if I expose my weakness, my vulnerability to the other person will not take advantage of that. They will not laugh at it, they will not poke at it, they will not take advantage of it, they will not try to put me down, showing that vulnerability. For example, one of the most common things you hear people saying, if you say something outside which sounds good, and you come back home, and then your husband or the wife will say, oh, you talk all this big thing outside, but at home, see what you do. Now, even though that is true, it may be true in some cases because, the issue of being completely in sync with what you do outside and at home, by definition, that's not possible because outside you are putting on a facade and at home there is no facade. So, obviously, there is no sync. But at the same time, the point is that here, a person has exposed their vulnerability to you and you are taking advantage of that. So the bedrock of trust is to know that my husband or my wife will not take advantage of my vulnerability. So in front of them, I can be myself. I don't have to put on an appearance. There is no defense that I have to put up to them because there is nothing to defend. This person is mine. I am theirs. Now this fundamental trust is what is meant by the issue of sukoon. And you cannot have sukoon unless you have that absolutely fundamental trust. I say that one of the signs of the presence of this sukoon in the home is the fact that you do not feel ashamed to cry before your husband or before your wife. You may not do that outside, but at home you don't feel ashamed of that. You don't feel that if I show my vulnerability that something is wrong. It's one of the signs. There are many. So this is the very important thing. Second big thing of tranquility in the home is a synchronicity, is a meeting of mind, values, thoughts, ethics, ideals between the husband and the wife. Because if there is a conflict in that, that is one of the major reasons why the upbringing of children goes wrong. Because the husband thinks one thing, the wife thinks something else, and in their conversation they constantly contradict one another. And when they contradict one another, the children get mixed messages. They don't know, what is right, what is wrong. And children, by nature, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the young animal to fend for itself. And believe me, a child is a young animal. That's it, mammal. A small child feels nothing if the mother dies. Zero. If the mother dies as a result of childbirth, as a result immediately thereafter, because the survival for the child's survival is himself. There is nothing good and bad and moral about this. That is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the world, where the new generation always supersedes the older generation. It's only Islam which brings in the ethics and morals and values of honoring your parents. Why do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned so many times about honoring your parents? If that was natural, there is no need to mention that. It is not natural. It has to be learned. It has to be understood that you honor your parents. No matter what your parents do or don't do, you must honor them, because this is the deen. And why does Allah need to say that? Because it is not natural. The natural is to survive yourself. And this is what happens with children. Children are by nature manipulative. And that is their survival instinct. And when there is a conflict between parents in the home, children manipulate. And they use the father against the mother, they use the mother against the father, and we see this all the time. And don't think it doesn't happen to young children. Young children do it the best. Because they're doing it instinctively, it comes naturally to them. They're not even thinking that I'm doing this. As they get older, they also learn the tricks. And that happens because of lack of tranquility, lack of sukoon between the spouses. So there is a very, very important for their minds, for the ethics, values, morals and so forth, to be in sync between the two. And obviously, this does not mean that this has to happen naturally, because the husband is from one environment, the wife is from some other place. So obviously, the husband and the wife need to sit and talk these things out and come to conclusions and make sure that you do not show, if there is a conflict, and there might be a conflict, and nothing wrong also, you may have a different opinion, but if that is the case, that must not become visible before the children. That's a conscious thought, that you never contradict the other before the child, even if you don't like the idea. For example, the husband might say something and the wife might think, well, you know, he's being too tough, but don't say it there. Do not say it in front of the children. Don't say, for example, no, it doesn't matter, it's okay, after all, why should... No, nothing. What he has said, khalas. And similarly for the wife, if she says something and the husband feels whatever he feels, the place to contradict is not before the children. You want to take that up with her later on, do that on your own, by all means settle the matter. But before the children, whatever your mother said, that is the law. Whatever your father said, that is the law, period. The other one automatically agrees with the one who said it. And these are things which are important to understand and make sure, if you want the tranquility to be there in the house. And the final point I want to make about tranquility is that all of that, the tranquility and so forth, the sukoon comes from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. So the home must also be a place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned and remembered. Alhamdulillah, the men go to the masajid for salah and so on, and they should go. But also don't make your house a place which has no zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Read Quran in the house, pray your nawafil and the sunan in your house. Your wife must pray, you must pray, and pray tahajjud and so forth. So the house must also be a place where Allah jalla jalaluhu is mentioned. Also make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam a part of your normal conversation in the house, in terms of looking at the implementing the sunnah. In terms of, you know, your eating and sitting and whatnot, all of these things, looking at that's why the sunnah is so beautiful, because the sunnah actually permeates every aspect of our life. Every single action, you can say, what is Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah say about this? And this can be said about all the actions. So you don't have to necessarily pick something or have a, you know, religious discourse or something. No, there's no need. Just your ordinary walking, talking. Did you say Bismillah? Did we do this? We are going out, sitting in the car. What is the dua for Safar? We are leaving the house. What is the dua for leaving the house? We are entering the house. What must we say? Throughout continuously the entire day, for every single small action to big action, there is something that the sunnah, there is a sunnah way of doing that. And if we remind ourselves over and over, we will become conscious of these things, and that brings about tranquility and sukoon in the house. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to do what is pleasing to him, and to save us from that which does not please him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to bring tranquility and peace and harmony in our homes, and to create the marriage, and to make the marriage home a very beautiful place for all those who are in it. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya rahmallah.